From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello and welcome to our program. Thank you for joining with us this evening. We commence a new series of studies in our program. We will be looking at the central doctrines of the Christian faith. And we're going to begin with the most central of all doctrines, the doctrine of God. But before we come to that, here is the third extract from the sermon we have been giving away free to anyone who requests it. The sermon is by the Reverend John Greer of Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church and is based on the raising of the son of the widow of Nain. You can have a free copy of this sermon on tape. You have but to contact us, listen for how you can do that to the announcement at the end of our program. Here's the Reverend John Greer.
Look with me at Acts chapter 20 concerning the ministry of the Apostle Paul and verse 31, where he says, Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul exercised the ministry of great compassion in the city of Ephesus. He tells us here that he warned sinners in Ephesus day and night with brokenness, with compassion, with concern. And it's little wonder that God visited Ephesus mightily. Because what he says here in this verse is a reiteration to the elders of his ministry in that city, of what he had seen done in that city, of how he had labored in that city. And if you go back to chapter 19... in verse 10, there you have the beginning of Paul's ministry, or just about the beginning of it, in the city of Ephesus. And notice what it says, This continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And you can read right down this chapter, that's chapter 19, and notice the great things that God did in the city of Ephesus, the great awakening that came to that city, and the wonderful results of the awakening of the lost, the dead and their sins, how they turned away, as verses 17 to 20 so clearly show, how they turned away from all their pagan relics and their abominations. Why? Because there was a man who wept for them. There was a man who preached the gospel with tears. There was a man who was burdened for them. And as a result of that man's burdens, God sent a mighty awakening to Ephesus. That also establishes this point that God visits the people who are spiritually concerned, who are concerned for those who are lost in their sin. You know, my friend, as I thought about this, it came home to my heart that the true child of God will even have that feeling of concern over the enemies of the gospel. You think with me again of what Paul said in that particular line of thought. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and verse 19. He says, For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now even tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. He says, For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. People who have become enemies of the cross. And yet Paul harbors in his heart no bitterness toward them, no animosity. Rather, he's weeping over them. He's broken over them. Isn't he like the Lord Jesus Christ? Who, when he came to Jerusalem on that day, not long before his own death, and stood watching or looking over the city. As we read in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, He wept over the city.
And the word wept there means that he sobbed with an exceeding great and terrible cry over a city which had rejected him already and would crucify him shortly. And yet in his own great heart of compassion, he could see that city 40 years later being destroyed and its inhabitants brought to destruction. He wept over it. He wept over the enemies who had raised themselves against him. I tell you, my friend, that tells us something. That tells us that we need to have a right attitude in this province.
As we commence this new series of studies entitled Central Doctrines of the Christian Faith, I want to read from two passages in God's Word. The first comes from the Old Testament, and it is the Psalm 14 and the verse 1. Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. This is the sum of the fool's theology. The corrupt and the sinful hold to this doctrine. I might say that it's a doctrine that's on the advance today. There have been times when, by the mercy of God, as the gospel has advanced, and times of revival have been experienced, when men have abandoned this foolish notion that there is no God. But in these days, the number of disciples of this particular view is increasing. And across the world, the voice of atheism and anti-Christianity is heard growing louder. But there is another view taken on this subject of God, and that's set forth in the New Testament, John chapter 4, and the verse 24. Now here we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is God's revelation of himself to man, and it comes to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn, first of all, God is. God exists. God exists. That's what the first two words of this statement uttered by Christ amounts to. It's a declaration that God exists. God is. I might say this, the Bible does not set out to prove that God exists. That may surprise some of you. But no, the Bible doesn't set out to prove the existence of God. The Bible simply states his existence. The very opening words of Scripture declare the existence of God. In Genesis chapter 1 and the opening verses of that chapter, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's our introduction to God. He is there. He exists. He is working. He is creating in the beginning of all things. So, when you open your Bible, the first thing you notice is that it declares that God exists. Now, the existence of God may be conclusively proved, and that by many different methods. Of course, you're never going to prove the existence of God to the satisfaction of the sinful denier. A man convinced against his will remains unconvinced still. And if man's will is set against believing or accepting the existence of God, you can stand on your head and it'll make no impression whatsoever upon him. No, you can never, to the satisfaction of the unbeliever, prove the existence of God. But that doesn't mean that you cannot prove the existence of God. There was a period in the affairs of man when it was claimed the earth was round. Evidence was put forth, but the powers that be and the ruling body of man's opinion at that time was that the earth was flat. and all the evidence made no impression upon the flat earthers. Does that mean that the evidence wasn't good enough to prove them wrong? Oh yes, it was good enough. It's just that they, in their blindness, refused to accept that evidence. And the evidence that can be gathered together from many quarters that proves the existence of God is sufficient to accomplish that task. The fact that unbelievers reject the evidence does not in any way detract from the validity of the evidence itself. In the days of the Lord Jesus, did he not produce abundant evidence that he was the Son of God manifest in the flesh? Did not his words and his miracles show his power? Yes, they did. But we all know they made no impression whatsoever on the unbelieving leadership of the Jewish nation. Let me quickly tell you how we can go about proving the existence of God. A businessman on one occasion stated why it was he knew that there is a God. He had been frankly facing the wonders of the stars and their planets, their system and their order, and he said, "It takes a girl in our factory about 2 days to learn to put the 17 parts of a meat chopper together. It may be that these millions of worlds, each with its separate orbit, just happened. It may be that by a billion years of tumbling about, they finally arranged themselves. I don't know. I am merely a plain manufacturer of cutlery. But this I do know, that you can shake the 17 parts of a meat chopper around in a washtub for the next 17 billion years and you'll never have a meat chopper." That's irrefutable logic. And all the scientific brains of all the universities that ever were cannot answer that man's simple statement. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." It doesn't matter whether you're in the northern or southern hemisphere of this world. It matters not on what continent you dwell or what language you speak. As you look up to the heavens, they, in your language, will tell you of God and his glory. Look inward. Look at yourself. What does that teach you? In Psalm 100, in the verse 3, we read these words, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He it is that hath made us, and not we ourselves." Man is one of the chief evidences of the existence of God. We'll continue with our study next week. Won't you join with us? I hope that you do. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible Speak.